All right, here's a quote for you to open up this morning. As believers, we have received Christ, but God's intention isn't for us just to have Christ. It is for us to enjoy him to the uttermost, to the highest degree, to the full. Many of us find that the joy we had when we first received Christ can fade away, but the Bible tells us how we can maintain the joy of our salvation. If I was to ask you this morning how, if you love Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, and if you're not, I pray you will be by the end of it because you'll see it's the very best thing for your life. But I would like to ask you this morning, how full of joy would you say your Christian life has felt of late? Okay, how joyful, how full of joy would you say you have felt of late? Now, having considered our personal personal present experience, I want us just to now just hold that and just take that and just look now at what Jesus intends for us. We've been talking a bit about this of late. What's his intention? What's his desire? What does he want to bring us into is some of what we've been journeying through. You see, whatever our level of joy is this morning, John 15 verse 11, Jesus said these words to his disciples, which includes us, this morning. These things I have spoken, will you read it with me? These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. 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 The intention of Jesus is that you would be filled with joy. With joy. Now, some versions of the Bible say that you would be overflowing with joy. How many people think that sounds pretty good? To be overflowing with joy. The Greek actual word there for full, it literally means this: to make full, to fill to the full, to be filled. So I want you to know this morning that if you love Jesus, if you follow Jesus, if he's your Lord and Savior, he wants you to be filled to the full with joy. Okay? Now, how many people here this morning believe that the Bible is the absolute truth? So whatever our present experience, this is what Jesus intends for us, right? He's not having us on. He's not teasing us. This is what he has in his heart, that whatever my present experience has been, it may have been that you've never really experienced this joy. It may have been that you have, but it's faded. It may be that you might be full of it this morning, but whatever it is this morning, I want you to know this is the truth. This is what Jesus intends for you this morning. Jesus, number one, wants you to have his joy, okay? That my joy may be in you, he says. He doesn't want you to have some kind of cheap imitation type of joy, some kind of work it up yourself kind of joy, not some kind of secondary type of joy. He says, these things I just want you, that my joy may be in you. The joy that Jesus wants you to have is the joy that he has. He wants to fill you with his joy, the joy of the Lord. So he doesn't want us to be running on empty when we think about joy. He doesn't even want our Christian life to be flavored or tinged with a little bit of joy. He wants to bring us into an experience whereby of being filled and full of joy. Hebrews 1 verse 9 in the New Living Translation talks about the incredible joy that Jesus had. Now, I just want us to kind of camp there a little bit and think about, I don't say this flippantly, joyful Jesus. Because often the image that we carry in our mind is scriptures like Isaiah 53 about how he is a man acquainted with sorrows and grief. Okay? But I want us this morning to think about joyful Jesus. Hebrews 1 verse 9 in the New Living Translation says this, speaking of Jesus, the supremacy of his son, that chapter's entitled. God has anointed you, Jesus, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. God has anointed you, he has poured out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else. God poured out joy on Jesus. Some versions say he had gladness beyond comparison. That word joy there, it means to be exuberant, It means an intense joy. It means an extreme joy. Oh, it means a wild joy. We might just rock a few religious boats this morning. A wild joy. Actually, that word is linked with another word which means to leap, to skip, and to jump. Do you ever think of Jesus leaping and skipping and jumping? He had a wild, exuberant, intense joy. When you think about him, do you think about him in that vein? Is that an image that you carry in your mind? You see, kids love to be around him, right? Children love to be around him. We say, oh, it must have been because he was so loving and everything. Yeah? Do you know what else? I think it was a lot of fun. Kids like to be around adults who like to have fun. Don't lose the child in you. Jesus, they love to be around and they love to sit on his lap. And often as we go, well, I suppose he was so loving, they just want to be around. I reckon he was a great laugh. I reckon they love sitting up on him lap and hearing him and playing with him and all that kind of stuff. I think Jesus was full of joy. And in scripture, oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. He was anointed. The Holy Spirit brought joy, this tremendous joy. He was clothed. He was anointed with joy. Oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 22 says what? The fruit of the Spirit is joy. One of them. The Holy Spirit wants to produce joy in your Christian life. One of the fruits, one of the things he wants to produce is joy. One of the marks of a Jesus people and a church who love Jesus is joy. We'll look in a little bit about how joy can impact our witness. Romans 14 verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, getting right with God, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I couldn't think where it was, I recently heard someone just saying this, that most kingdoms, it says the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It said most, you know, the other kingdoms of the world, not God's kingdom, that is usually where people look for their joy, in eating and drinking. But therein again, we confuse joy with happiness, which I'll say something about in a moment. But that is where, in the kingdom of the world, most people think, well, that's what is going to bring me joy, a nice meal. Now, I enjoy a nice meal. I've had good meals, I've had bad ones. Never cooked by my wife, of course, but I have experienced both, and my level of response has varied from, whoa, that was amazing, that was so good, and it's kind of happy and content, to like, that was rubbish, and I'm a bit glum and grumpy. You think, I don't ever want to invite him over for a meal. Sometimes the things you say, you know, you just like put yourself on. Sorry, babe, I don't think we'll be going anywhere now, but that's cool. That was my wife, by the way, I spoke to then, if you listen on the recording. But most people try and find their joy in that stuff. Oh, let's go out, get smashed, let's party, let's eat nice food, let's drink, let's do all that. But in the kingdom of God, there is a Holy Spirit joy, a Jesus joy that is beyond comparison, that is beyond compare. That's what we're talking about today. See, we get mixed up. People get mixed up with happiness and joy. There's a difference. Oswald Chambers said this: happiness depends upon what happens. Joy does not. So happiness is always dependent upon my circumstances. Was that meal good? Are things in my life good? Are they rubbish? Am I going through a tough time? Am I going through a good time? Have I had an experience that made me feel happy? Have I had an experience that made me feel sad? Happiness is always, it's an external thing. It's always dependent upon what's going on around my life. How many people know it's impossible to be happy all the time? There is a limit to how long you can keep a smile upon your face. Coincidentally, the world record, if you want to try and break it, is held by someone called Mariana Costa from Brazil at 2 hours, 2 minutes and 4 seconds to hold a smile. But the smile fades. But you see, joy is an inside job. That my joy may be where, Jesus said, in you. In you. Happiness is all about what's going on around here, but joy is about what Jesus does in here. Happiness, someone once said, is like a thermometer. It registers conditions. Joy is like a thermostat. It regulates conditions. So there's this joy that he wants to get, he wants us to have. And he says this in the New King James Version. It doesn't say it in the ESV I read. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. So he wants us to be full of joy, but he wants that joy to remain. And that your joy may be full. Happiness comes and goes, but is it possible that there's a joy, a Jesus level of joy, which you have to remember as he was moving towards Gethsemane and Calvary when he's speaking to these guys at this point. So under the shadow of the cross, which we know was a tremendous time of pain and agony, Jesus is talking about joy. Is there a type of joy that actually can even carry us and can remain in our tough times, in our difficult times? See, Jesus doesn't just want us to be filled with joy. He wants us, number two, to have lasting joy. He doesn't just want us to find it. He wants us to keep it. He wants it to remain. He doesn't want it to come and go. He doesn't want it to be up and down like happiness can be. That word remain means his joy can abide. It can dwell. It can endure. It can continue to be present. It can be held. It can be kept continually. It's not to perish. This joy doesn't have to fade. I know sometimes it does, and we'll talk about, but it doesn't have to fade. If we really understand the joy that Jesus has for us, and we want that, and we want to be filled with that, the Bible says it's a joy that can carry us through. Number one, your sorrows. John 16:20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. It can carry you through your troubles. 2 Corinthians 7:4. I'm greatly encouraged in all our troubles. My joy knows no bounds. Acts 16, Paul and Silas are in the middle of the jail, the central jail, the jail where they dropped all the muck and everything, all the waste, human and food and everything, right down to the basement, central place where they were. They're beaten, they're in chains, they're guarded, they're suffering tremendous humiliation, and yet at midnight they're having a praise party because they're filled with the joy of the Lord. It can carry you through your losses, Hebrews 10:34. It can carry you through your suffering. In the Greek, that means when you're under pressure, in times of affliction and distress, and straits. So in tough times, happiness fades, but it's possible that joy can intensify. You see, when we go through tough times, happiness is nice. Right? I like to be happy. It's good to be happy. It's nice to be happy. And you know what I mean? I think we all look better with a smile upon our face, but you can't always smile. You can't always pretend you're happy. And so a shot of happiness in a tough time can be nice. But let me tell you, the joy of Jesus is better. The stuff that he has is better. Because it won't just temporarily lift you in that moment. It can carry you through that stuff. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's the energy. It's the strength in tough times to keep going. The whole ploy of the enemy in Nehemiah was to seek to rob them of their joy. It says they built the wall to the halfway point. It says the strength of the laborers was given out. And then just a couple of verses, chapters later, and it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. They were losing their joy. The enemy was doing everything he could to rob them of their joy, because when they were robbed of joy, life ground to a halt. They felt down. They felt discouraged. And the word says, it's the joy of the Lord that's your strength. Listen, it is entirely possible. Paul was just saying something about this the other day. I'll share something tonight in the evening service about my own present experience. But it is entirely possible to have tears streaming down your face and yet feel joy in your heart. So it's not all about the smile. Although, as Christians, if we don't smile from time to time, something's up. But it's not about, it's an inside job. He wants you to experience joy when you're serving him. Psalm 100:2, serve the Lord with gladness. When you read your Bible, he wants you to find joy in it. When you pray, he wants you to experience joy. when you come and pray. He says here in verse 7, doesn't he? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. This is John 15, verse 7, just a few verses before, and it will be done for you. What a joy, answered prayer, breakthrough. We often pray prayers like, Lord, let heaven touch earth. Do you know what C.S. Lewis said? Joy is the serious business of heaven. So actually, when we're praying prayers like, let heaven touch earth, Lord, let heaven break out in church today, I think that if heaven's going to break out, there'll be a breakout of joy. It might be, there might be tears of repentance, but you know, weeping lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That joy is a hallmark of what heaven is. Listen, if you're miserable, you're going to have a tough time there because it's full of joy. It's filled with joy. And when you spend time with him, he wants it to be a joy. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your presence. Oh, I've got to read my Bible. Listen, we've all been there. Come on, let's level up and be honest. Oh, I've got to pray. I don't really feel like it. I've got to read my Bible. It's hard. I don't really understand it. Oh, I need to go and pray. I know I should pray, but you know what I mean? Actually, he wants Jesus' intention, friends, whatever our present experience, is that that stuff would be a joy. Would be a joy. That we'd be filled with joy. So joy is not some kind of like, well, it's a nicety. Can I dare say joy is a necessity? It's not a nicety, it's a necessity. It's we need the joy of the Lord. And yet the truth is that although it's available to us, sadly, many of us feel like we've either never experienced it or we have experienced it. We've lost something of it. It's faded. It's gone. It's available to every church, and yet you don't always feel it in every church. And it's here to be enjoyed. I was on the phone just several weeks ago now, actually, to my friend Jeremy D'Souza, Basil and Kathy's son. He's home in India, having just spent a year at Bethel, involved in their School of Supernatural. It's a three-year thing. He'd just done year one. He'd just come back. I was talking to him. It sounds almost cheesy, but honestly, his whole complexion had changed. You know, he just looked like a different guy. And I'm like, man, what has happened to you? He's absolutely buzzing and full of life. And I said, what's that? He's just like, oh, so much. And I just said to him, so what was the first year all about? What did you learn in your first year? And he said the whole first year was entirely given over to just focusing on who he is in Jesus and what he has in him. The whole first year, that was the focus of the first year. Before getting towards let's pray for like supernatural stuff and everything like that. The whole focus was we need you to understand who you are in Jesus and what you have in him. The resources and everything like that. And he said this. He said, can I tell you something? He said, before I went, he said, when I was in India, he said, I didn't even have the courage to invite a friend to church. He said, he's the son of a pastor. He's a PK, as they call him, a pastor's kid. And he never had the, he said, I just didn't even have the courage to invite a mate to church. He said, after what God has done in me in this year, and he wasn't bragging, I promise you he wasn't bragging. He said, since Christmas, I've been involved in leading 60 people to the Lord. And then he said this, he said, the biggest revelation to me was this, that we individually and as a church have a joy deficiency. And that's what he said was the biggest revelation that had switched his whole life up in that first year is that there is a joy deficiency. Now, how many people have ever experienced a deficiency in their body? I remember when Claire was pregnant, we went to York, she was pregnant with Beth, we went to York for the weekend. And being the old romantic that I am, I took her for a trip around York Dungeons. And oh yeah, I know how to treat a lady, don't you worry. But I took her to York Dungeons. She was heavily pregnant, and we went into that wonderful section, like I hope no one's terribly squeamish, where they were telling us all about the you know, they used to lay you out, put a rat on you, and put a cage over you, yeah? Right? And I'm like, oh, right. All of a sudden, I heard, boom. I turn around, Claire's on the floor, passed out behind me. And I'm like, oh, wow, she must have been really put off by the rat story, you know? So I'm sort of waking my wife from having faint. She's like, I don't feel good. I feel weak. Something's up. Something's wrong. So then you're like, oh, boy, she's pregnant. What's going on? We need to check this out. So we went to the doctors. Doctors just found this. It wasn't nothing to do with my romantic date at York Dungeons. The doctor said this. There's an iron deficiency. She's not the first to have ever had it. Won't be the last. Take some iron tablets. You need the supplement of what you are lacking to feel yourself, to feel 100%, to operate at your best. Do you know, I think that's a lot like our Christian life. We can do this life. We can operate a level. But sometimes we feel like, I just don't quite feel like others seem to feel. I just don't quite feel at my best. I just don't quite feel 100%. Friends, can I put it to us that quite often it can be a joy deficiency? And that actually the supplement of joy will give you what you need. It can be that. And Jesus wants you to have that. I'm not saying you're miserable this morning. Please don't feel that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that actually I believe there's a supplement of joy that's for all of us. And I just want us to know that we can be filled with joy and that we can keep our joy. Because Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that you may be that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. These things I've spoken to you. He says, these were the secrets. He's just spoken to him about some stuff. He says, these are the secrets to how you get filled with joy and more than that, how you keep it. So all we do is you just back up a few verses and you read through what Jesus has been saying. Now, for time, I'm just going to pick up the pace and we're just going to go through this just quickly. John 15, verse 1 to 11, because this was the run-in to verse 11. These things I've been saying. We love that verse, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. And so we take it, quote it, take it out. Let's put it in context and just see what Jesus was saying, because that's the secret to being filled with joy and keeping joy. I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. John 15, verse 1. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Would you say that with me this morning? Abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do something. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Abiding is the secret to abounding. To getting full, to getting filled with joy. But more than that, it's the secret to retaining and keeping that joy that Jesus wants you to have. It sounds so simple, but at the end of the day, Jesus is boiling it all down to something very simple, and that is it's all about our relationship with him. The whole vine and branches thing. He's the vine and we're the branches. So let me give you four things real quick. Number one, verse 4 to 5, okay? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. The first point of this one here is this. Branches live a surrendered life, not a solo one. Branches live a surrendered life, not a solo one. Apart from me, if you go solo, you can do nothing. There's no joy to be found in the pursuit of that life separate from me. You might experience temporary happiness, but ultimate joy is when you're connected to me. But more than just being connected to me, you've just got to be surrendered to the vine. The branch just don't try and just do its thing out there. It just surrenders to the vine, to receiving from the vine. Okay, the minute it says, I'm off, there's death, there's no joy, and its focus is just to stay in right relationship. Friends, I want to say to you, if you want to be filled with joy, live a surrendered life. And surrender is not just a one-time thing. Remember, abide. Stay in that place continually. Don't depart from a place of surrender. Don't just get connected at salvation. Stay surrendered. Offer your life to him. There's joy in that, living for Jesus. If what I want always comes before what he wants, I'll never know real and lasting joy. The second thing I want to say to you this morning is this. Verse 5, for apart from me, you can do it. Recognize how much you need Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That one truth, if that really sinks into our heart, if that really gets a hold of us, apart from me, you can do nothing, it could revolutionize our Christian life. Because it will drive me to a place of dependency where I lean on Jesus. I, the branch, and know that I can't do nothing unless the vine supplies it. And what a beautiful thing that actually a branch's biggest focus is just to receive. It's not to worry, it's not to stress, it's not to try and produce in its own energy and strength. It's just to receive from the vine. Do you know that Jesus calls you into his presence because he wants you to receive? He wants you to receive. He has stuff that you need and he wants it to flow to you in your life. And as you receive it, there will be joy. When the branch needs a drink, it relies on the vine. When the branch needs to bud, it relies on the vine. When the branch needs to produce fruit, it relies on the vine. It's the vine's business to supply what the branch needs. It's the branch's business to stay connected, stay surrendered, and recognize, apart from the vine, I can do nothing. So joy is found when I recognize it's all found in Jesus. So Jesus is really saying, because quit worrying. Quit stressing about stuff. How am I going to produce this? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? And is there, what do I need? What am I doing? What am I producing in my Christian life? Rest, rely, and receive. That's the secret. But you've got to be there. You've got to be in that place because this is where it comes. Abide. You know, when you get out of fellowship with God, you lose your joy. I don't know if we'll get through all of this today, but when you get out of fellowship with God, you lose your joy. Psalm 51, David has sinned. He was out of fellowship with God. And what did he pray? Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. He didn't say restore to me my salvation. He said restore to me the joy of your salvation. Friends, when you get out of fellowship with God, you don't lose your salvation, but you do lose your joy. You can lose your joy. He hadn't lost his salvation. He had lost his joy. So I just want to ask you this morning, how? It sounds so simple. But if joy is absent, how's your relationship with Jesus right now? How is it? How much abiding's going on? How much time? How consistently? Because that's a consistency that's the challenge. Just to continue to remain in that place. And Jesus says, the joy then, because you bear fruit. Our lives become fruitful as we're surrendered, connected, and recognizing, depending upon Jesus. The joy that all of a sudden now, as needs come across my path, when I'm at work, when I'm in wherever I am, wherever I'm doing, that as needs come across my path and lives that are in crisis and people that are sick, the joy will be you've got something to give them. Because you've received from Jesus. You cannot give what you haven't got. And sometimes we're like, I want to give. Why am I not seeing breakthrough? And Jesus is just saying, hey, come back and receive. Just come back and receive. Come back and rely upon and rest upon and depend upon me. I am only what I receive. David said this. He said, and I'm nearly done now. David said this. He said, when he prayed that prayer, he went on from that because he recognized to impact the world around him, he needed joy. Psalm 51, verse 12 to 13. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sustain me with a willing spirit. This is the Amplified Version. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted and return to you. Then, he says, when I get my joy back, I'll start winning souls. When I get my joy, I'll start impacting the world in which I am living. Do you know there is a tremendous impact in being filled with joy? Really, and again, don't just get hooked up on it means I've got to get you to fix some plastic smile when you walk into school or college or work or something. Just like, you know what I mean? It's not that, but honestly, friends, we should be some of the most joyful people. We should be the most joyful people there are around. Because we know the joy of the Lord. People know happiness, but we know joy. positive, faith-filled, fun, happy people. Joy empowers my impact. Joy empowers my witness. So Jeremy, just as I spoke to him, just two quick stories and the wheels are out and I'm coming into land. But two quick stories. I haven't said that for a long time, have I? Jeremy said this. He said, I got back. I'm sitting in a rickshaw. I don't know if you've ever been in a rickshaw. That's an experience in itself, right? Sort of like potentially take you, sort of think that's going to steal your joy. You feel somewhat vulnerable in a rickshaw. And you're there, it's just hectic, Indian roads and you know, like full on, beep, meep, 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 all going on around you. And just like, you know, I'm not used to it, I'm a Brit, you know what I mean? And so I'm just like, whoa. Well, Jeremy's in the back of this, he's used to it, that's fine. And the driver just stops at the traffic and says to him, sir, can I ask you what's up in Hindi? And Jeremy says, what do you mean what's up? Jeremy said, I thought that's a strange question to ask someone. He says, sir, since you've been in my car, you have not stopped smiling. He said, that is not normal. What is up? And Jeremy said, I honestly haven't even realized that I was sitting in his rickshaw smiling. It wasn't like an intentional thing. And Jeremy said, I just trying to explain something. He said, he says, that's the joy my Jesus gives. He pulls over, says, you've got to tell me more. So Jeremy tells him, the guy gives his heart to the Lord, goes home, gets his whole family, brings them back to church, and the whole family come to Jesus Christ. Witness empowered by joy. Some guy who's broken his femur sitting outside of their small group sees people coming in and going out, and everyone's walking out, and he thinks, boy, they're happy. Why are they so happy? He's broke his femur bone, you know? That's a hard bone to break, isn't it? He thinks, I'm going to come back next week and see if they like it again. He comes back and sits on the same bench next week. He gives his testimony at a later date. Sits on the same bench, watch them walk in, watch them out. So they're so happy. They seem so full of joy. So the next week, he goes into the meeting, gets prayed for, gives his heart to Jesus, comes back the next week. He's had one of them walker things. Walks down the front of the thing with his walker and holds it up above his head and says, Jesus has healed me completely after what happened last week. Joy, empowering witness. Joy, empowering the supernatural. Supernaturally empowered. Incredible stuff. Jesus' joy draws people to him. There's no joy like seeing people saved. William Barclay said, the Christian is a person of joy. Andy, you better come back up if that's all right, please. The Christian is a person of joy. A gloomy Christian is a contradiction of terms. Nothing in all religious history has done Christianity more harm than its connection with black clothes and long faces. I don't know if you can put that quote up there, Lucas, there. You know, that's one of those ones you sort of put out there and then duck behind the pulpit, you know, but it's pretty challenging. But we personally, and as a church, we need to be filled with joy because people see Jesus. Number three, last 2 points, rest in his love. Rest in his love. Verse 9, that's all he's saying here. You know, this is one of the secrets in John 15. Just talks about that. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Just rest in my love. Stay. When's the last time you just let Jesus love you? Sometimes we're in such a rush. You know, I had an incredible encounter with Jesus at one event. I want to share more about that tonight at this evening's meeting. And I'm not saying this to... All I want to share tonight is my heart about what Jesus taught me in that encounter. Can I encourage you, if you've been a long time since you feel like you've really encountered the Lord, and I think it was for me, actually, to just try and be here tonight. So I just want to... I've got nothing flashy about it. In fact, it's the first set of handwritten notes I think I've written in donkey's years. Just a few truths that Jesus taught me in that moment as I encountered him. And I'm going to share that tonight. I'm believing people will encounter God tonight if we just can hear what God is saying. But the biggest part about that was that it came when I remained, when I stayed, and when I settled in his presence. That was when the encounter came. When there's more to it than that, but I'll expand on that tonight. But abide in my love. Don't rush off. Hang around. Let me love you. Jesus is saying, and lastly, joy is found in simple obedience. Those who love me obey my Father's commands. He had joy because he did what the Father asked him to. What's the Father asking you to do? Is there something he's asked you to do and you've not done it? It will steal your joy. But if you do it, you'll be filled with joy. But we can never prove the delights of his love until on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows, for the joys he bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. John 14, Jesus says, if we obey, he says, I will love that person and I will reveal myself. I will manifest myself to them. There is a revelation and a manifestation of Jesus in your life that comes as you obey. What a joy. So how do you experience it? How do you keep it? You stay in a place of surrender. You depend on the Lord. You live in his love and you obey. You do what he asks you to do. Let's just close our eyes.